Gemara Nedarim Daf Samechev. Today's Daf is being studied. Le'alu Nishmat Morzekanir Bi Yosef Ben Sarah. Bi Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechem Began Eder Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema Shelomo Ben Miriam. Refuah Shelema Sarah Bat Rachel. Sarah Bat Rachel. Moshe Ben Dina. El Na Refana Lahem. Refuat Nefesh. Refuat Ruf. Refuat Tam Kerbal Bavichin Yirasum Ben Omar.
Amen.
Amen. We begin on Daf Samechev Amud Rishon, starting on the top line. Tanya, we have a Beraita. Amudar and Am Hadro. First, let's say, made a neder that he's not going to allow his friend, let's say, to have hana'ah, mudar hana'ah from his friend. En matirim lo ela b'fana'ah fadush. You want to make hatarah such a neder over here? You have to make the neder in front of the person that you were madir, which means now you're learning a new law. So if some guy makes a neder against his friend, you have to go to the rabbi. No. You go to the rabbi, but you have to be in front of the person where the neder was made to. But you see this from the Gemara says, "Menan emi le." Amar Rav Nachman, "Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe b'Midyan." God tells Moshe in Midyan, "Lech shuv Mitzrayim, ki metu kol anashim." Let's review the story. Yitro made Moshe Rabbeinu make a neder, or Moshe Rabbeinu himself made a neder to his father-in-law that why he's not going back to Egypt. He's going to stay by Yitro. And where did he make that vow? In Midyan. So now, when God comes to release Moshe to annul it, the pasuk says he annuls it, and the pasuk says "Vayomer Hashem Moshe b'Midyan." So
that?
The Gemara is coming and saying, "Amar lo b'Midyan nadarta lecha ve'haten nidrecha b'Midyan." You made the neder to Yitro in Midyan. The annulment has to be also in Midyan, meaning in front of Yitro, because this affects Yitro. You told Yitro you're going to stay. And now what? He would come along now, make an annulment. Now come along and say, "Well, yeah, Yitro, God told me heter, I'm leaving." No. The annulment had to be davka in minyan, because the rule is when you make a neder with somebody, with another person, it has to be b'fanav dichtiv. How do we know Moshe Rabbeinu even made a neder to his father-in-law? Vayoel Moshe. What does vayoel mean? En ala ela shivua. Vayoel is v'lashon ala. Ala is shivua. How do we know dichtiv? Vayavo oto be'ala. This is talking about over here with Nebuchadnezzar. It was the last of the kings before the Hurban, and at the time Sitkiyah lived in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar made Sitkiyah Melech make a Shivu'ah. But the pasuk says Vayavo oto be'ala Vegam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar. No, what's that Aleph? Vegam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad asher ishbi'o b'Elohim. So we know that Sidkiyah had to make a Shivu'ah to Nebuchadnezzar. We don't know on what yet. We'll see in a moment. But what do you see? That the pasuk says, Vayavo oto be'ala. And what does Allah mean? We know he's making him swear. And eventually we're going to see Sidkiyah Melech got absolved from that swear that he made to King Nebuchadnezzar. So you see what? Let's review what we learned from this Gemara. When a person makes a Shivu'ah neder regarding somebody else, to annul it, it has to be in front of him. That's why God says, Bim Midyan. You made the neder in front of Midyan, you got to get the acquittal in front of Midyan. Right in front of Yitro. And how do you know Moshe Rabbeinu made a neder to his father? Vayoel. How do you know Vayoel is Lashon Shavuah from Sidkiyah that says Vayavo to Be'alah? We know Allah made a Shavuah. So Gemara says, but what? Sidkiyah rebelled against him. Sidkiyah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and he did not keep his word. Well, what was the minute? What was the rebellion? So Gemara says, my Mardute. What was the rebellion? Ashkechet Sidkiyah and Nebuchadnezzar. Sidkiyah caught Nebuchadnezzar eating a raw rabbit, which obviously was a bushat for a person to eat such like in a ravenous, disgusting way. But he saw it, he witnessed him. Amarle, ishtabali delo maglit elavai, which means swear to me that you're not going to reveal this information. Veloti puk miltan, it's not going to go out this situation. I don't want to be embarrassed. Ishtaba, so he made a swear. But you have to know that Sidkiyah was being tortured and oppressed by the king Nebuchadnezzar. So therefore, he was looking for a way to annul it, because he wanted to use some leverage against Nebuchadnezzar in order to show the people what kind of person he was. So he had to get out of the neder. So what did he do? Lesof, avakamistar Sidkiyah begufe. He had sa'ar in his guf from the Nebuchadnezzar. So again, he wanted to release himself from the neder. Itchil ashivuate. He went to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin gave him a heter. If you would have known that you would have had such, tzah and all that, would you made the net in the first place? No, he gave me a petah. Ve'amar, and what? He said it. Now he started to reveal the news. This guy, Nebuchadnezzar, this guy eats the raw rabbits. Shaman Nebuchadnezzar, they come and bazin. He heard the news is out. They're embarrassing him. That means he's gathered to keep his word. Shalach v'ayte Sanhedrin v'sitkiyah. He brought the Sanhedrin and Sitkiyah in front of him. Amar Leon, Hazitun, my kavit Sitkiyah. What I mean? Look what this King Sitkiyah did over here. La v'chish teva v'shvad shmaya. Magalina. He swore on God's name, Shmishmaya, on the God in heaven, that he's not going to reveal it. So he's telling the Sanhedrin on him. What kind of man is this over here? He doesn't keep his word. Amar Leh. So they told him, Amru Leh. The Sanhedrin told Nebuchadnezzar, it's Shele as Shevu'ata. No, we absolved him. We annulled it. Amar Leh. Mitshalin as Shevu'ata. What do you mean? Could you do such a thing? Are you allowed to make an annulment? Amru Leh. In. Then why not? Amar Lehu. Befanav o afilu shelo befanav. Hey, he made a neder in front of me. I'm no gay over here. You're allowed to annul a neder shelo befanav, not in front of the person the neder was made to. Are you allowed to do that? Amri le befanav. Oh, so he told him befanav, which means we did it in front of Tzidkiyah. Amar leon ve'atun may avitun, which means but what did you do? Which means we did it befanav in front of Tzidkiyah.
Yeah, but
he didn't do it in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Which means that he didn't answer. So how is it? Nebuchadnezzar, he called him. He told him, what did you do over here? How'd you make Hatanah Hedarim over here? It was befanav in front of him, but it wasn't in front of me. So Gemara says, which means, what's the reason that you didn't tell Tzidkiyah that you cannot make an annulment unless you go in front of Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, miyad, yeshvu la'aretz. Originally, when they came to Nebuchadnezzar, he sat the Sanhedrin b'chavod, on couches, on, b'chavod way. Once he saw the Sanhedrin did not follow the halakha, he took their comforters from under them, yeshvu la'aretz. He sat them on the ground, yiddemu zikne batzion, and they were silent. What shot they were silent? They couldn't answer Nebuchadnezzar. He got them on the halakha. Amar b'Yitzhak, sheshamtu karim etachtem. He took the karim from under them. So now we have to read the Ran over here. So basically, what do we see over here? We saw a story of Tzidkiyah Melech Yehuda, that what? He made a neder, and he absolved the neder, and the Sanhedrin did it shelo. Befanav, so you have to see the ramifications of exactly Tzidkiyah, if the Ned, what were the Sanhedrin thinking, obviously? What, they weren't following the halakha? And what was Tzidkiyah thinking? He also was a tzaddik. We have to explain the logic of both sides of the story. What? Nebuchadnezzar knows the halakha more than the Sanhedrin. He's telling him he didn't do Shalom Fanab. And we also have to learn some details in this halakha of when you make a Neder against somebody, that you have to make the annulment in front of that person. So let's start reading the Ran. Tanya, top line. Amudar, ana, mahavero. Which is someone who says the only deen that you have to do it in front of the person that you made the neder to is when the neder is beneficial to the person you made the neder to. Like in the case of Moshe, Yitro has a benefit in such a neder, because Moshe nadar that he's going to stay living by Yitro. So such a neder, you got to do in front of the person you made the neder to. Or the case of Nebuchadnezzar, where he has a benefit. But if he made a neder to stab, it doesn't affect his friend.
He doesn't have to be in front of him.
Right.
Okay.
Neder shelo lesur chavero, matirim lo shelo befanav. Mistavra, deha milta talya. What's the logic? We didn't say the reason yet. What's the reason why, when it comes to explaining, when it comes to being matir and neder, why davka it has to be befanav? What's the reason? Rishami gives two reasons. The ikaman da amar hatam, the ta'amad de milta mipnei busha. Because we want to embarrass the guy a little, make it a little difficult. Because what? When he's in front of the guy that he made the neder, he might not do it. Kilomar. It's an incentive for the person not to break the neder. Not in front of the guy, it's easy to say, okay, absolve me, annul me. But you do it in front of the guy, say, listen, you made a neder to me, to my benefit, are you going to annul it? So it takes a little more busha on the guy's part to do it. So they want to make it a little more, difficult. If that's the reason, that only is going to apply in a situation where the neder is beneficial to the person that he made the neder to.
Correct.
However, but I'm not going to be embarrassed if the neder doesn't affect that person, which means if it's not a personal neder that he gets a hana'ah from, so therefore there's no busha factor. So therefore it doesn't apply. So therefore, according to that reason, it's only in yan of bifanav. However, miyum, ikadiv tamatam, bifenea hashad. כלומר, שחברו שהוא מודר ממנו לא ידע בהתרו, וכשהוא נהנה ממנו, יחשדנו שהוא עובר על נדרו. זאת אומרת, עין שהוא עובר. If you're not going to do it in front of the person that you made the neder against, he's going to see you having hana'ah from that himself, and he's understanding this government. He made a neder against me, and he's having hana'ah, so this guy's not keeping his word. So therefore, it's a nyan of hashad. So we have to do it in front of the person, so the guy will know that the neder is absolved. Now, according to that reason, it should not make a difference what type of neder is it. Whether it's a neder that the person gets direct hana'ah, or it's a regular neder standard, the guy doesn't benefit from it. If the inyan is hashad, so therefore it's got to be regardless. Well, hay tama afilu nada neder shu shelo lehanot havero en matrim lo ela befarav deika hashda. There's another nafkah mina between the two reasons. Teleman davar mepnei hashad kol shodi'uhu matrim lo. Which means, as long as you tell the guy, it's not a problem. You can tell the guy, listen, by the way, I made hatara. Oh, there's no problem. So if we, I'm going to go make hatara. So therefore, you got rid of the hashad reason. Shalom v'fanav, the two, they kahashdal. Man, the man, the busha, afidu hodi'u, the afka v'fanav, the kosh shalom v'fanav, they kabusha. Even if you're going to tell the guy, I'm going to go make hatara the darim. Doesn't matter, you still got to do it in front of him. Because you want, the whole purpose is to have the busha factor. So therefore, you see another nafkamina between the two reasons. If you told the guy that you're going to make hatara, does it make a Nafkamina, the Ran continues. Ve'echad habu befanav uba'al korcho shel havero. Which means, let's say it was done befanav. He went, he followed the law, he went befanav. However, ba'al korcho shel havero. The guy that the neder was made to, he's against it. He said, I don't want the neder to be annulled. So you're doing it against the will of the mudar, the one that the neder was made against. Pshita de matirin beneder she'enu lehana'ato shel havero. Which is for sure, if the person that was mudar, that it was made to, is not personally hana'ah, I don't care if he's objecting, he can make a tara. But let's say he gets a hana'ah. Vadai en matirino ela middato vechen katavar minutam. So you have a big hadush over here. When the neder is the hana'ato, it's got to be befanav, and it's got to be done willingly. When the guy's got to tell us, okay, I allow you to annul it. But if he doesn't want it to be annulled, it cannot be done. Miu, hecha shetiru shelo middato, but let's say you didn't go in front of him. You went shelo middato, like the case that we have in the Gemara with Tzidkiah and Nebuchadnezzar, where he did not in front. I shari nidro olo. Now, b'diavad, does it work or not? You didn't go in front of him. Okay, is the nid absolved, yes or no? Sericha ayuna. So the Ran says, really, this subject needs ayun. And he brings the ayot back and forth. But I want to bring you the ra'ayah from our Gemara. So he wants to come along and say, look at the first wide line, or the line right before that. We see it ra'ayah from our Gemara. The rabbi should have done it in front of the Nebuchadnezzar, correct? They didn't. They did it in front of just Tzidkiyah alone. But what? Did Tzidkiyah tell everybody about the fact that he ate a raw rabbit? Yes, that means what? B'di'avad, the neder was absolved. So you see, b'di'avad, if you make the hafara shelo b'fanav, it works. And the Ran speaks that out. V'i'afidu b'di'avad enu mutar. If you tell me, even b'di'avad, it's not good. Hechi'av ishar yedad Tzidkiyah l'giluy emilta. How is Tzidkiyah allowed to reveal the information? Ma'ash b'di'avad shari. V'chitem, but see, I have a question. Akati kashya. Tenehi b'di'avad shari. So how did the rabbis go against Talakal? They went, they were matir tzidkiyah from his neder, shalom b'fanav, shalom b'fanav, Nebuchadnezzar. He can have the dvar mitzvah matirin. I said, for dvar mitzvah, you can be matir with shalom b'fanav. And tzidkiyahu, hava mitzta'ir b'yoter, kishlo yachol legalot. And therefore, mitpatir al yedei ken, memelechet shamayim. Which means now he has sa'ar, he's got to reveal it. And because he has this sa'ad, he wasn't able to serve God in the right way because he wasn't happy. And therefore, since it took away from the Melechet Shemayim Tzidkiyah, the rabbis justified it that what is considered Tzorich Mitzvah. V'gam Mitzvah Tamelech. You have to point out Tzidkiyah was a king. So the king was telling the Sanhedrin, you got to nullify it. So they said it means battles to the king also. That's a mitzvah to the king. Shemitzvah alehem natiro mitzvah, right? He alehem nekayem v'chent mitzvah tosfot. Mikol makom, ma'ash v'didiavad mutar. But v'didiavad, it's mutar anyway. Di'i lo, my ahani lele tzidkiya, my desharude. Uchtemukar nameahu digitin. But you still see from the fact, so look at that, how the hell that they were able to do such a situation. Because either it was the king or in such a thing like that, but still, they want to bring a ra'ayah. From the fact that Tzidkiyah was revealed it, that the di'avad, it could be okay. V'achayrim omrim, no. She'en elu ra'ayot, de'olam eflum di'avad eno mutar. She'en katu savach b'Tzidkiyah, ma'anisho b'davar, k'dikliv, v'gam b'melech l'mukhadesar marad. Adraba. You want to bring a ra'ayah, bring the ra'ayah opposite. The pasuk speaks against Tzidkiyah for revealing the information. Because what did the pasuk say? He rebelled against the king. Why did he rebel against it? Because he gave over the information. So you see, the pasuk itself has claims against Tzidkiyah that it was wrong. Since he didn't absolve the neder in front of Nebuchadnezzar, he did it shalom b'farav. He's considered a morid. Asher ishbi'o be'elohim. V'chikatavar ha'abad. V'etzeu de ma'altal. All of a sudden, look what happened. The Sanhedrin got punished. Wow. Tzidkiyah ended up getting killed. So you see what? That is a machloket now. B'di'avad, if you broke the neder shelo b'fanav, is it okay or not? Someone to bring it ayah, Tzidkiyah. Someone to say, no, you have no ayah for Tzidkiyah. Adrabah, he was wrong. But he revealed it. Look what happened to him. The Torah calls him that he got punished because of it. He was a morid. So therefore, that's a machloket amongst the Rishonim. B'di'avad, if the neder was absolved, is it considered b'di'avad annulled or not when it was shelo b'fanav? Comes the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah says, b'mi'ir omer. So let's just review quickly. So we have 2 points. Number one, the din is b'fanav. It's got to be b'fanav. It's machloket. Does it have to be b'fanav, dafka, and nedarim, that the person has a hana'a?
Or not.
And we said that depends on the two reasons that the Yerushalmi brings why it has to be b'fanav or not. And then we have another machloket. If it was done shelo b'fanav, but the avad is it going to be okay. So there's no question. If the neder was not from the person's personal hana'a, for sure, but the avad is going to be okay. The question is when it's nogeya to the person himself, and you did it shalom, is it okay? So we say that's a machloket amongst the Rishonim. Comes the next Mishnah to be Mir Omer. Yes, Tevarim Shehem Kenolad, Ve'enan Kenolad, Ve'en Hachamim Odim Lo. There's certain things that are like Nolad, which means the situation is like a Nolad case, but it really doesn't have the din of a Nolad. What's the case? Which means you could really use it as a annulment. What's the situation? Ketzad Amar Kunam She'eni Noseh Et Plonit She'aviha Ra. Guy come along and say, listen, I'm not marrying so-and-so, such a lady, because her father is bad. Amru Lo. Then they tell him, listen, Met. The guy died. Oh, She'asat Teshuvah. Or the guy made Teshuvah. So according to the Bimi'ir, that's not considered a Nolad case. Now, why is that not considered a Nolad case? Then we say Met is like Zloshkiach, or the guy making Teshuvah. The guy was bad at the time. But he says, it looks like Nolad, but you know what? It's really not Nolad. Why? What's the logic? Look at the Ran. Lefi shehu ketole nidro b'damar. Dechev ha-damar she'avi ara mashma kol zeman she'avi ara. Uficha keshemetu asef shuvah shari. It's if you put a stipulation. I'm not marrying this lady so long as he's bad. Okay, so that's not considered Nolad. That was your stipulation at the beginning. Now he's good. Now he's good, so then no problem. Now, so long as he's alive, he dies. That was your stipulation. You understand? Since it's like he made a stipulation, so therefore it's not considered nolad. Come to Hachamim. Well, comes to Gemara, gives another case. Kunam lebayit ze shani nechnas. You know what? I'm not entering this house. She'akelev ra betocho. Why? Because there's a bad dog, a dangerous dog in the house. Oh, she'nachash betocho. There's a dangerous snake in the house. Amru lo. So they come and tell the guy, meta kelev. The dog died. Or Shinera got a hush. Or the snake got killed. Harein kenolad ve'eno kenolad. Between, it looks like a nolad case because it's uncommon situations, but you know what? It's really not nolad. Why? Because it's like he made a stipulation. It's if I'm not going into the house so long as the dog is inside. The dog dies, okay, there's mutar. I'm not going in the house so long as the snake is there. The snake got killed, he's mutar. Ve'en hachamim odim lo. Hachamim do not agree. They say it's not like making a stipulation. That's like a regular case of nolad, unanticipated situation. Now you can't come along to the guy and say, well, if you would have known that the snake would have died, hey, listen, that's a far-fetched thing that didn't enter your mind. And even if it did enter your mind, you probably say, even if it dies, I'm making the neder because it's not going to happen. And therefore, Hachamim argue and they say that this case as well is a situation of nolad, whereas Rabbi Meir says no, this is a case of toreh, meaning you stipulated it, therefore it's not a situation. Comes to Gemara and says, kunam she'ani, that was the case of the dog, let's say. I'm not going into the house because the dog's going to, unless the dog dies. So it says, met, okay, so it says that he died. So the Gemara comes along and says, what do you mean, noladu? I mean, the Gemara is trying to understand the Bimir's logic. I explained it to you already. Now the Gemara is going to speak it out. What do you mean? When the dog dies, so he goes to the rabbi, right? He comes to the rabbi and tells him, okay, listen, rabbi, I want to absolve myself from this neder. Well, what do you mean? Who was the neder he made? I'm not going into the house. There's a bad dog in the house over here. Oh, so had you known that the dog would have died, would you have made the neder?
No.
Never. What do you mean? That's not allowed. How could you come along in the Matir, Rabbi Meir? You know, if you agree with Nolad, but you're calling it, that's not Nolad. What do you mean? That is Nolad. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Avuna na'asa ketole nidro bedavar. Like we said already, we consider it as if he stipulated, as if the guy said, I'm not going in the house so long as the dog is
alive.
Once the dog's dead, I never made a neder, which means he doesn't even need an absolvement.
Right.
Which means that the dog died. The condition already was met. Look at the Ran. And the Gemara, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines at the bottom. Nasa ketole nidro bedavar. Look at the parishit, like I explained. Umeshumeche shari. Afilu b'lo she'rat hakam. You don't even got to go to the rabbi. It's a stipulation. The dog dead, you can go into the house. V'achi ita birushalmi. Tamin ata mepene shu ketole nidro bedavar. Be'mer konam shari ne'ne le'ish peloni. Kol zeman shu loves shahorim. Right? I'm not going to have an app for such a guy as long as he's wearing black. Okay, lavash levani mutar. He puts on white clothes, mutar. If Zayin Abishim Ben Chaim, afu ino slif shirat chacham. You don't even need to go to the rabbi, because since he made a stipulation, so the stipulation was met. Then we have no problem. That's one way of learning our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan is a different interpretation totally. He says, you know what the pshat in the Mishnah is? Kevar met uchvar asat teshuvah kamrele, which means the case of the Mishnah is talking about the dog died before he even made his neder. So the guy comes and makes an answer, I'm not going into this house over here, you know, because there's a dangerous dog in there.
No.
Little did the guy know, there was no dog, the dog was dead. And therefore the Ran speaks out, Kudomar Shemet Kodim Nidro, Vahavile Neder Taut. The whole Neder is a Taut. That's why it looks like a Nolad case, but it's not even a Neder Bichlal, because the guy made a Neder on a false premise. The only problem is with this Pshat of Rabbi Yochanan. And the Ran asks it, and he leaves him the question. So Rishai Yund, Rabbi Yochanan, Echi Ketan Yesh Torim Shem Kenolad. The Kevan De Kevan Met Lo Damin Nolad Klal. This is not even Nolad, because it happened before. And not only that, we don't even understand what does it mean. Hachamim are also in this case. How could Hachamim say such a case?
It's not an edit.
The dog was dead from before. So according to this answer, these are questions on the subject. Mativ Rabbi Abbas. Rabbi Abbas' question. I'll see Rabbi Abbas' question. Konam she'eni nose leflonit che'ura. Right? Guy comes along and says, I'm not going to marry so-and-so che'ura because she is ugly. Varehi na'a. All of a sudden you see, she's pretty. She'ura. You say, I'm not going to go with this girl. She's black. See, really, she's white. Kesara, I'm not going to go with this girl. She's short. You see, she's really tall. Mutar ba. You can go with her. It's mutar. What's the pshat? Lo mepne shechura v'na'asit na'a. Shechura v'na'asit nebana. Kesara v'na'asit aruka. Not because the situation changed and it's expected. Ela shaneder ta'ut. Because the neder we say obviously was made under a false premise, right? So let's see. So what's the pshat over here? The Gemara says mutari can marry her, okay? Which we don't assume that she was ugly at the time of the neder and then she got pretty, and that doesn't happen. She wasn't short at the time of the neder and she got tall. Ela, you say what? The guy didn't know the information. The guy didn't know. He thought that she was ugly. They said, I'm not marrying this girl because she's ugly. And he didn't have the right information. It was ta'ut. And therefore, nidre ta'ut is mutar. So the Gemara analyzes, bishtama l'ravuna, which means, according to Ravuna, I understand, na'asa ketole nidro bedavar, tana tole nidro bedavar, vetana nidre ta'ut. That's speaking outside. You have two situations. You have a situation of tole bedavar,
That's the case of our Mishnah, where the guy said, I'm not walking in this house over here. There's a dog that's dangerous, right? So how do we interpret the Mishnah? We said it means, as long as the dog is in the house, I'm not going in. Master, if the dog was dead, the guy never intended to make a neder. How do we explain that according to that? Well, that's called tole nidro bedavat. He stipulated. So we have a Mishnah that teaches us the din of stipulation. What's the point of this Mishnah with the guy saying, I'm not marrying her if she's ugly, I'm not marrying her if she's short and all that, then you find out that it's the opposite. This is not a case of tole. This is a case of stam neder taut. Which is, this is not the pshat that the information changed, that she didn't become ugly to become pretty. This is a standard case of what? Whereas neder from the inception was a mistake. Very good. According to Rav Huna, I understand why I need our Mishnah. Our Mishnah teaches us the din of tole. And I understand why we need this Mishnah of the ugly and the short and all that to teach me a case of neder. Two separate cases. However, according to Rabbi Yohanan, how did he learn Amishnah? Amishnah is the classical case of neder taut. The dog was dead before he even made the neder. So guys, I'm not walking in this house because there's a dangerous dog. Hey, neder is under a false premise. Neder taut, the dog was dead before the neder. Good. So the case of Amishnah is what? Neder taut. The case of this lady over here is what? Neder taut. The guy thought that she was ugly. He said, I'm not marrying her, she's ugly. He found out she was pretty. Nothing changed. You didn't know the information. What do you need, according to Rabbi Yohanan, two Mishnayot that are teaching you basically the same item of the neder taut? And the Gemara comes out, kasha, which means really it is indeed a kasha, which means that leaves in a question. Let's just read the Tapran. Tana tole nidro bedavar. Right? Our Mishnah is the case of tole nidro, according to Rav Huna. V'ainu lesha, t'shavi ara. Right? In that case, in the case of shavi ara. Right? He would say, I'm not going to marry this girl so long as her father's bad. He dies and he makes the shuvah. No problem. V'tana nidr beto, d'ainu sefa. That's the sefa. That's this case over here. Nidr ke'ura. Right? You made a nidr against the ke'ura. V'areina. V'adru amlina b'sefa. Gabe ke'ura v'na'asit na'a, haynu ta'ama, mishum da'adam ra' asui la'asot teshuvah, v'asui lamut, which is what you say like this, that a bad guy, right, he's destined maybe to make teshuvah, or people die, hilkach umdim da'ato, maybe we could say that there's an umdana over here, dechi amar shaviyara, kol zeman shaviyara kamar, mashenken be'isha ke'ura, שאין אסולה להיות נאה, הלכך לא היה בדרתו שתהה מותרת לו לכשתהה נאה. הרש בזל. אינמה, היא אמר אחרי שאני נושא אישה פלונית שהיא כעורה, כדקטני, שאבי הרע, הכה נמה, דמש בקוזמן שהיא כעורה. אבל הכה, כיוון דפלונית כעורה, כאמר, לא משמע כתולד לא בדבר. Which means you're just trying to say, why do you say this case is also ketoleh? With the case of the ke'urah case. Which means, if she is ugly, nah, but if she's pretty, yeah. So therefore, we'll make this case of also a toleh. Why according to the toleh, Rabbi, you say this is a case of nedreh, taut? Because the guy's language was, smashma shehi ke'urah.
You really thought she was ugly.
You thought she was ugly, but you're not saying, if she, you're saying, I'm not marrying her because she is ugly. So smashma, your whole premise was wrong. So that's why we said this is a case of nedreh, taut. But she ain't kin in the case of the Mishnah, we're saying, she aviyada, you want to learn it, that if the father is ra, therefore if he's not ra, so therefore you didn't make it. Therefore, that's why we want to learn according to the Shita. One, the first case is toleh, and the second case is taut, as opposed to saying that the second case is also toleh. Because you could argue the second case is also a case of toleh, make a question on Avuna. In the case of if she's ugly. But then I want to say no, because if you understand, then you're right. But it says, no, you said an affirmative statement. She is ugly. She is ugly. That's already, you just don't know the information. Therefore, it's considered any there. That's the way he wants to learn from the Mefashi.
And the Mishnah continues. The Od Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said another halakha. Potchin lo min hakatuv shebatorah. Which means if a person made a neder, we're able to absolve his neder, matir his neder, from the pasuk from the Torah. Which means let's say a person, let's say, said, I'm not going to have hana'ah from my friend, for example, because he said, I asked my friend to borrow or lend me something, and he didn't want to lend it to me. And therefore, I'm not going to let him have hana'ah from me. So he's taking revenge. The omimlo. So the rabbi tells him, ilu ayita yodaya. If you would have known, she'ata over alot tikom ve'alot titor. If you would have known that by making this neder, you're not going to give your friend hana'ah because he didn't lend you a certain item, that you're going against the Torah's commandments of lotikom, don't take revenge, velotitor, don't hold a grudge, ba'alotisnat ha'chika bilbabecha, do not hate your friend in your heart, ve'ahavta l'recha kamoka, and all these different isurim. If you would have known, you would have been over, ve'he'ahicha emach, which means if you would have known, let's say, your brother or your family member that you made this neder against, let's say he would have became an ani, and now you said you're not going to give him any hana'ah. Shehu ani, God forbid, maybe the person is going to become an ani, ve'en atay yechol defaneso, and now you're not able to be mefanes, and you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah, ve'he'ahicha emach. You have to give life to your brother with you. Amar, ilu ayita, Amar, he said, ilu ayiti yodeya shehu ken, if I would have known that this is true, lo hayiti noder, I would not have made the neder at all. Mishnah says, "Are ze mutar." Because of this, it's mutar. So now the Ran over here speaks out. The Od Amar b'Meir putzim the Ketub b'Torah. The Afalgav the Askin and the Perek Arba'ah Nidarim. Even though we learned above, they lo patzim and b'Yesh bote kematkerot cherev uchidish mu'em, which means we learned above that you cannot intimidate a person. Which means if a person made a neder, you don't absolve the neder by telling them, if you would have known the Pesukim that talked about the negativity of making the darim, like that Pasuk that we just quoted, or he says, that, like this word, or if you would have known that anybody that makes a neder, even if he keeps it, is called a Rasha, or I don't want to intimidate him by telling him, listen, would you have made the neder? If you would have known that anybody that makes a neder, it's like he builds a bama. So how come over there we say that that's not considered a legitimate petah? But over here, if you tell him, listen, if you would have known that you would have transgressed a certain mitzvah, that that's considered a petah. So the shani, the hatam shani, over there is different. The abu iyumin gedorin. Those are very, very great intimidations and scaring factors. The I afidu al da'atan nihun adad yidbayesh to markin. Which is, even if the guy doesn't care about those factors, he's embarrassed to tell the rabbi that he would have made the neder regardless. So therefore, the neder is not going to be nitar yefeh. Therefore, in a case where it's a great intimidation factor, we don't use that as a petah, because he's going to lie. He's going to say, yeah, I wouldn't have made the neder, even though he doesn't mean it. However, aval hane demane tere, but these isurim, these mitzvot, or ladin, that the Mishnah lists, hachan lo hamili le'inche kolehai. If people don't take him so seriously, so the guy's not going to lie, which is if he really, he'll be honest. He'll tell the rabbi, listen, I would have made the neder anyway. I don't care about that mitzvah. So then we could trust him when he says, no, if I would have known that this mitzvah would have been transgressed, I wouldn't have broke the neder. So therefore, these mitzvah, you can trust his statement when he says, I wouldn't have made the neder if I would have known that it would have transgressed. Now, one of the cases in the Mishnah needs to be analyzed, again, what I was going to say. One of the cases in the Mishnah was a guy made a neder against, let's say, one of his family members. So the rabbi comes along and says, listen, if you would have known that you're going to transgress the isur of the Hayachicha Mach, which is a mitzvah that if your relative becomes an ani, you have to help him out, you have to support him, you have to give him tzedakah. So now, by you making a neder against your relative, you cannot fulfill this mitzvah of the Hayachicha Mach. Would you have made such a neder? So the Gemara questions, Amar le Ravuna bar Rav Katina, Rabbanan. Nema, let the person that made the neder say, "Kol deme'ane lav alay nafil." All the obligation of the aniim, of the poor people, doesn't fall on me. My demateli lefaneso, my obligation to befanes my relative as well as everybody else. Ba'de kulam mefanesale, which means I'm giving them panasa with everybody else. Which means there's no specific obligation to mefanes my relative, which means he's a poor person. So therefore, I give money to the charity. I give money to the general charity like everybody else. And then the charity, the Gaba'es Sadaqah, they divvy up the charity to the people. And therefore, this is not considered a... How could you be matir and neder like this? If you would have known, you would have transgressed the Achikah Nach. I'm not transgressing v'chayachikaymach. I'm giving the money to the tzedakot, to the gabbai tzedakah, with everybody else's money, and they divvy it up and they give it to all the members of the community, including this family member. And therefore, the Gemara is trying to understand that why are you saying that this is considered a mitzvah? Which all I'm going to do is give the money to the gabbai tzedakah, and therefore it's okay. Which even if I made a neder against this family member by giving money to the charities, to the general charities, I'm not giving him a hana'ah directly. I'm giving it to the gabbai tzedakah, that money. And they give it to all the anim of the community. So therefore, how could you use a petach? You would have known that you're going to transgress v'chayachikaymach. Not so. You're going to give it to the charity collectors, and they're going to give it out to them. I'm not transgressing any isud. So he came along and answered back, Ani omer kol nofel eno nofel lidei gabbai techila, which means, yeah, we know a rule. When a family member comes on hard times, he doesn't go to the gabbai tzedakah first. Where does he come to first? He comes to the family members, which means when a person falls on hard times, the first people he goes to is his family. Then there's an obligation of that your brother has to live with you. And that's what the rabbis come and tell you. You made a neder against your family member. If this family member would become poor, you know you would now transgress because you're not going to be able to support him. And don't tell me you're going to give money to the gabbai tzedakah, therefore it's not you're not being over any yisurim. No, you're going to be over because he's going to come to you first, and you have to support him when he comes to you. So that's the interpretation of the Mishnah. Comes the next Mishnah and says, actually, let's read the Ran on this. Velema, kol dene'ane lav'anay nefun. The obligation of the anim doesn't fall on me. It says, hechi ketay depotchim lo shemayani. How can you tell him that, well, maybe he's going to become an ani v'iyate yechol lefaneso, v'ketay lebehedya min ha-katuv v'torah, and you tell him that he's going to transgress an issur in the Torah, v'ala mechayev back, he tells me he's mechayev in this. Lema, let him say back to the rabbis, kol dene'ane, all the obligation of the anim lav'anay nefun, doesn't fall on me, sh'ani mechoyev lefaneso lebedi alone. My obligation is with the obligation of everybody else in the community. And it's okay because I'm not giving it to them directly. Even though he's not said himself to give any money, he's going to give it to the The Gabbai don't have to give it to his relative. They can give it to anybody they want. If they decide to give it to the relative, it's not coming from him. That'd be the case. It's not like we said. Look at the next one. Kol nofel en nofel yad gabbai techila. Ela shoed mekirobav. What does the person do first? He asks his relative. Umitpanes. Vahi shata ka'avar akran. At that point, when they're going to come and ask you, he's going to over on the pasuk of v'chaya achika amach. And therefore, the law is that indeed he can be matir the neder with that angle. Comes the next Mishnah. Potrim le'adam b'chtuvat ishto. Which means a person, let's say, makes a neder, he's not going to give his wife any hana'ah. Now the law is, once a person does such a thing, he has to give his wife a divorce. Because how is she going to live without any hana'ah? So therefore, the rabbi can come along and say, listen, if you would have known that you're going to make such a neder that you cannot have hana'ah, that you're going to divorce her, and yet you have to pay the ketuvah, would you have made such a neder? And the guy would say, no, I don't have to pay the ketubah. So that could be the angle that he could use out. Ran. Potrim la'adam b'chtuvat eshto. She'omim lo. Yilu ha'yita yodei ha'shiliya alecha lefro ketubah ta klum nadavta. You would have known that when you made the neder that you're going to offer from hana'ah, that you would have to pay the ketubah. Would you have made the neder? I amar lo. If you would have said, no, I wouldn't have made the neder. Matirin oto. So they matir it. Now the Mishnah tells a story. Uma'ase be'echad shenadar me'ishto hana'ah. Story. Case of a guy. He went and he was Madira's wife, no hana'ah. Ve'aita ketubata taf dinarim. So his ketubah was expensive ketubah, 400 dinarim. Ubalif ne Rabbi Akiva. So he came in front of Rabbi Akiva. And that's it. He was Madira's wife. Therefore, he has to give his wife a divorce. So he came in front of Rabbi Akiva. Ve'chibo ditemna ketubata. He's okay. You got to pay the ketubah, 400 dinarim. Amalo Rabbi. My father left us in the will 800 dinarim. Natal achi dalid mot. My brother, he took 400. Da'ani dalid mot. And all I have is 400. Lo dayashi tetodi matayim vani matayim. But I take 200 and I'll keep 200. And he was trying to get a discount on his ketubah. Amar le Rabbi Akiva, afilu ata mocher se'ar roshecha. Even if you have to sell the hair on your head, ata noten la ketubata, you're going to pay the full ketubah. Amar lo. So the fellow said, idu aiti yodeya. She who can, if I would have known that it's that strict that I have to pay the full ketubah, I never would have made the neder in the first place, which would obligate me to divorce her and give the ketubah. I would never made the neder. No aiti no der. V'itira Rabbi Akiva. And as a result, Rabbi Akiva was matir the fellow. So now the Gemara analyzes. We learned the Masechet Ketubot, just as a reminder, that it was a machloket amongst the Chachamim and the Bimeir. When it comes to the payment of the ketubah, does the lady get from metaltelin? Which is, everybody agrees she gets her payment for the ketubah from karka. The question is, can she even get from metaltelin? So the shita of Chachamim is, a ketubah is not paid from metaltelin. Why? Because metaltelin are movables. It's not stable. This is like money and assets. And the lady is only somech da'at. She puts her mind for the ketubah on the real estate, which is a stable asset. Because anyway, the ketubah is a type of payment where you're not even sure it's going to get paid, because it's only on the death of the husband or in case of a divorce. So therefore, she really only puts her mind on the karka. And therefore, the law of the Hachamim is that the mitaltelin, the assets of the husband, is not mishubah to the ketubah. So the Gemara says, mitaltele, mi mishtabdeh, the ketubah. But from our Mishnah, that's what it is. Why? Because it says that he had ketubah 400 dinarim, and the Akiva was making him pay 400 dinarim. Now, what do you, 400 dinarim is money. You don't have to pay ketubah from money, you pay it from real estate. So you see from our Mishnah, that sounds like the ketubah could even be paid from metaltelin, like the Shittav Rabbi Meir. So it was Amar Abaye, karka shaveh het meot dinah. Now, when it said that he inherited 800 dinar, and his brother took 400, and he got 400, he meant that his father left him a field worth 800 dinar. And his brother took it, and he had it. But they're only discussing over here the payment from karka. What do you mean? What do you mean? Rabbi Akiva told him, even if you have to pay from your own hair, you have to pay the ketubah. Now what? Hair is metaltelin. So you see why the ketubah is paid even from metaltelin. The Gemara says, no, haki kama. This is what he means to say. Afidu atam mocher se'ar roshecha be'ochel. Which means, even if you have to pay the ketubah with all the real estate you have, and the only thing left you have is your hair, and you're going to have to sell your hair to eat food, so be it. We're going to take it from you. Which means that when Rabbi Akiva said that he has to cut his hair to sell it, wasn't for the ketubah. The ketubah is only going to be paid from karka. But he was saying that if all you have left is your hair on your head, and then you're going to need to sell it to eat, we're still going to take all the karka away from you to pay the ketubah. So the Gemara says, oh, we learn another law from here. Shema mina, en misaderin leba'al hov. Now, what is this law of en misaderin leba'al hov? So we have a rule over here. It's actually another machloket. Well, let's say a person owes a certain amount of money for a erchin, let's say. Let's take a case of erchin. A person, let's say, makes a donation to the Beit HaMikdash. He says, my erich is to the Beit HaMikdash, which means my value is going to be a donation to the Beit HaMikdash. Right? So it's a certain amount he has to give. And let's say he doesn't have that money. And if you're going to take whatever he has, you're going to leave him without anything left. So the halakha says that you have to leave him with a minimum amount of assets. The Ran brings down how much that is. The Ran says that the Ran says over here, if you have to leave him enough food for 12 months, right, and different, you have to leave him with a bed, with a mat, with certain vessels that he needs for his business, which means even if he owes the money, they don't leave him totally destitute. So we see over here that by ketubah, it's not like that. From here, you see what the ketubah Rabbi Akiva was saying, which means if that's all you have left is the hair on your head, that's all you have left to eat. We're taking everything. So you see, in misaderin lebaal hov, which means when it comes to a baal hov, like this case over here where he owes the money, you take every last penny. You don't leave with anything. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak, No, really, you leave them with minimum assets. You don't bankrupt the person to pay the home. You leave them with a certain asset. So what did it say in this Mishnah that even if he has the only thing he has left is his hair, which he's like this. Let's say the guy wants to be a nice guy. He says, you know what? Yeah, I'm willing to pay as much as I have, even if that's all I have is the hair. Right? Even if he's been willing to pay. So what's going to be the law? So let's read the Ran. The Ran says, Lomar she'en mikara'in shtar kvo. We're not going to rip up the ketubah. Kilomar. In a kanamid misadrin. We let him keep a certain amount of money, even if he owes. We let him keep a certain minimum. You haki come on. Afilu ata osu lefim mishulat adin. If you want to be a tzaddik, you want to give us everything you have. The em charot se besidud. You don't even want to keep any money. Lo tashov dipater. Which means don't think that you're going to give whatever you have and then you're going to be off the hook. Because let's say in the case of Erchin, the law of Erchin is, let's say a guy doesn't have any money when he made this Erchin donation, whenever this vow. Right? He doesn't have any money. And so the rabbis make a deal with him and they tell him, okay, have it. They give the minimum amount. Now he becomes rich. When he becomes rich, we don't make him pay the Erchin. Which means once you settle with the money's in Ani, it's finished. Which means that the settlement is made. He doesn't have to pay money when he's rich. But that's not the law of the ketubah. Which is, even if the guy wants to come along and say, take everything I have, but he says, Rabbi Akiva is telling him, listen, even if you want to leave us with everything, give us everything, and you can literally just leave yourself with the hair on your head. Be careful. First of all, you don't have to do that, because you can keep everything. You can keep a certain minimum. Because we are misadded to the Baal Hov. We let the Baal Hov keep it. But even if you want to give us more than that, but what's going to happen? We're not going to rip up the ketubah. Because what's going to happen? If you fall into money, the ketubah is still existing. You're going to have to pay it regardless. Which means, normally, like I said, by Erchin, if the guy becomes rich already, we don't make him pay. Now, she'enken by ketubah, the ketubah remains forever. And therefore, don't think you're going to get away just paying us now whatever you have. No, when you get more money, the ketubah is still in existence. I want to read that in the Ran. Look at the Ran. Lomar, the hadush of here is she'en mekar'in shtar ketubah kalomar. Erechen amed, the mesadrin. Yeah, you let him keep as much money as the minimum. If you want to be more than the law, you don't want to keep the money that you're allowed to. Don't think you're going to get off the hook just because your parents whatever you had. Which is, if you find monies, then he doesn't have the klum. Which means, normally, in the other cases, if he paid his selah and then he became rich. So the law is in ala lua klum. There's nothing, he doesn't have to pay anymore. But ketubah, the deen is, even if he took everything he had, but if he gets more money, then he has to pay. But really, I can tell you, there is a sidur. But we're talking about with the Bekmas, even if you give us everything, we have nothing left. All we have is up the hair on your head. And the karahim, shtar, ketubah. We do not rip up the shtar of the ketubah. Amen, amen.